Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research. The Sunday Roast presents 12 stocks for the 12 days of Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you for listening.
And welcome to the 12 stocks of the 12 days of Christmas. I'm Phil Carroll, and today we're joined by Sapangai, CCO of Sovereign Metals. Welcome, Sapan. Merry Christmas to you. Have you had a good one so far? Ready for the new year?
Merry Christmas to you guys too. Almost ready for the new year. Just got to get rid of the Christmas hangover. So we've got a few hours.
any resolutions this year? Any the new year, new me thing? You'll see all the memes online, you know.
I think my resolution is to leave the Christmas decorations for next year to my wife, because clearly I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, you mean leave them up the whole year, or just
no, leave it to her skills rather than any of mine. The festoon lights out on the front of the house look a bit dodgy, shall we say?
Brilliant. So I think it's always worth having a recap of what Sovereign is all about, because it's such a compelling story. Do you want to give the listeners a brief description as to what the company's all about, please?
Oh, that's fine. You're totally right. Sovereign is a once-in-a-generational find. It's an AIM and ASX-listed company. We're developing the world's largest rutile deposit alongside the rutile. We have a graphite co-product, which makes it one of the world's largest graphite projects as well. The project's called Kasia. It's in the southeastern African country of Malawi and hosts about 18 million tons of rutile. That's about more than double the next largest rutile deposit out there. Rutile is the purest natural source of titanium feedstock. What do I mean by that? So titanium, the metal that we talk about, doesn't occur in that metallic form really economically in the earth. It's really in two types of what are known as mineral sands, rutile and ilmenite. Ilmenite is more abundant. It's more the form where we get our titanium from. Around the world, but ilmenite only encapsulates about 40 to 60% titanium dioxide, which is the main component. Rutile is anywhere up to 95, 96% titanium dioxide. So basically, Mother Nature's done a lot of the work for you to get closer to that titanium dioxide end product. What does rutile go into, or what does that titanium dioxide feed into? Mainly, albeit we know titanium as a shiny, strong metal, the metal part of the world of titanium is only about 10, 11, 12% of the market, really. So, you know, your aerospace-grade titanium, so your landing gears, things that go into medical applications, hip joints, knee replacements, dental work, anything like that is really only about 10% of the use of titanium. About 30% ends up in the welding industry. So it's used as welding flux. So anytime we want to join, you know, two pieces of metal together, that's rutile doing the job for you. But really about 60% of it ends up in pigment space. And that's anything that you see which is colored white. So from your white paints, white papers, plastics, coatings, it's white because it has titanium dioxide. You know, up until the 1920s, we used to use lead to get that white in our paint, and obviously we figured out that wasn't the best thing to do, you know, cover our walls with lead and then sit in that room. So since then we've been using titanium dioxide, which is, you know, much more inert and provides that same, you know, without going into the chemistry of it, the opacity, the brightness, the whiteness that we require from our white pigments. But that's rutile in a nutshell. And of course, then there's the graphite, and we've got about 23 million tons of graphite sitting there at Kasia, which makes it one of the world's largest graphite deposits. Graphite obviously is finding its own real niche in this new world as you know, the largest component by volume in a lithium ion battery, which then feeds into the electric vehicles market.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, 2022 has been quite the year, with an offtake MOU for premium price rutile sales to the welding sector, another with a major Japanese trading house, and then in April, a trading halt with news of the 1.8 billion ton JORC resource confirming Cassia, as you said, as the world's largest rutile deposit ever discovered. And then in June, the expanded scoping study at Cassia confirming it as one of the largest graphite resources in the world. So it's not like there's been, a lack of news flow, as there in 2022. And that only took you up to June. There was obviously more announcements there. Is there anything else you want to add into that? I mean, did you feel like this has been a kind of defining year for the company?
I think one of the key things that maybe your listeners probably know or should know is a lot of the time when you make an investment, it all comes down to the management team, right? A project could be the best project in the world, but if the management team isn't really geared towards advancing it, sometimes it can just be it may not be the right time to invest in that project. But I think in 2022, we've really shown what the Sovereign team can really do on the ground in the markets. We've taken Cassia from a nice rutile deposit to the world's largest rutile deposit ever found. One of the world's largest graphite deposits. The scoping study back in June, you know, showed that for $370 million of capex as an initial outlay, the project could return over $1.5 billion of NPV after tax. That's around a 36% IRR. What does that mean in financial terms? Well, if we were to start mining at Cassia today, you'd be producing about $320 million of EBITDA a year for the next 25 years on average. Lowest quartile rutile operating costs, lowest cost of graphite production in the world. And as you mentioned, the offtake MOUs really have put a stamp of authority, of validation, of verification about our project. You know, we signed three MOUs, which you talked about. 25,000 tons to US-based Hascor, which are the international welding distributor. That's important to us because only premium-grade rutile ends up in the welding sector. And because of that, the rutile that goes into the welding sector actually gets like a 20 to 25% premium in its price as well. So that's a good uptick for us on anything that we put into the welding space. The MOU with the Japanese trading house Mitsui was for about 30,000 tons. And included strategic initiatives around marketing in Asia. You got to remember, someone like a Mitsui, I mean, the size of that conglomerate, I mean, it sells titanium feedstock to, you know, amongst others, Japanese titanium metal producers. Japan, outside of Russia, Japan is probably the only other place where you get aerospace grade titanium metal. And then, recently we announced a 20,000-ton MOU with Chemours out of the US, who are the world's largest producer of high-quality titanium dioxide pigments. So really, you couldn't get better partners on the MOU front. And then just to add to that, in December, a few weeks ago, we announced that we're looking to demerge our standalone graphite projects. So just to go back, give a bit of history around Sovereign. Sovereign actually was looking, exploring for graphite in Malawi. We picked up a bunch of tenements. We took one of those deposits called Malingundi all the way through to PFS. And during the PFS stage, we were doing some bulk sampling on the graphite there. Turned out there was rutile in some of the tailings that were coming off the test work with metallurgy test work we were doing. And that basically fed into us understanding that actually what we were on the cusp of was Cassia, the world's largest rutile deposit. Always a nice way of going. But since we've talked about, or since we've really focused in on Cassia and the rutile, I guess we haven't had the management bandwidth to continue progressing Malingundi and the other deposits. So that's Dui, Nanzika, and Mabumbe. We haven't had the bandwidth to really do anything. And that's really reflective in the share price, we thought, as well. And in analyst reports where we were getting a very nominal value for our graphite projects. But there's still 10 million tons of JORC resource within those three or four projects in total. So we thought, look, a good way of providing shareholders with, you know, being able to monetize or value or, you know, create value in those assets, in those projects, was to demerge them away from Cassia. So the management team today at Sovereign, which has done all those things in 2022 we discussed, can simply focus on developing Cassia, which in itself is a huge task. the four standalone graphite deposits will become their own standalone graphite company. And of course, you know, you can happily go back and look at some of the reports on Malingundi, where we've already done a lot of the test work towards, you know, is this graphite amenable in batteries? What's the purity of it? What does it look like as a graphite concentrate product? Who are the potential off-takers? We've done a lot of that work between kind of 2012 and 2018. So I urge anyone who is interested in holding Sovereign and therefore becoming a shareholder of the new graphite company, which will be called NGX, to go back and look at that stuff because it gives you a good grounding of exactly what you're going to end up holding shares in.
So basically, you know, going into 2023, you're going to have two for the price of one. I presume in Cassia, the graphite and the rutile will still be within the Sovereign Metals camp, but the other projects for graphite will be in the separate opportunity.
Yeah, totally. Look, they're completely different exploration licenses. So today you're a Sovereign shareholder. For every 11 Sovereign shares you own, you will get one share in NGX, in the new graphite company. There's no money flowing out of Sovereign into that company. That company will do its own IPO, get listed, and raise capital as and when necessary on its own back. But yeah, as you said, you get two for the price of one. You maintain your shareholding in Sovereign as is today, only you now have a share in a company that didn't exist pre-demerger.
Yeah, is the plan then to list that in London as well?
It'll initially list in Australia. And then, you know, it made sense for us to bring Sovereign to AIM. If it makes sense for NGX, we'll obviously do the same. Given that a lot of our shareholder base here has, a lot of the shareholding in Sovereign itself has moved over to the UK, to Germany, it would make sense that we probably would do something similar with NGX.
Okay, great. One of the outstanding things that happened for me in 2022 was that you were actually mentioned on a very, I think it was the UN, when the minister or the president of Malawi basically talked and announced about your project. So what sort of effects did that have in terms of people understanding the size and the importance of this project?
Yeah, look, I think a lot of understanding Cassia is really about understanding Malawi and where Malawi is on the world scale, right? And look, it is a poor country. A lot of its GDP is dependent upon foreign aid, but the country has really tried to, you know, develop itself into a self-sustainable economy. It's done a lot over this year. Things like going to the UN and the president talking about Cassia and mining and agriculture as well, hand in hand with mining, being, you know, those bootstraps that help take Malawi out of a dependent country into an independent country from a financial perspective. How, you know, private investment into the mining sector will help that. And obviously, you know, he mentioned that, you know, Malawi now hosts the world's largest rutile deposit, which is brilliant PR for us. But also, you know, there's now a UK-Malawi Chamber of Commerce up and running. The president of Malawi was recently, he met with Joe Biden in Washington as well. US investors to invest into Malawi in agriculture, tourism and mining, which is really a big strategy and a big push from the country. And we're seeing that as Malawi kind of becomes more and more exposed to the world, that we're finding a lot more interest in Sovereign as well from various investors across the globe. In fact, we have a number of family offices in the US now invested in Sovereign too.
Very good. So what is the things that we should be looking forward to in 2023? Obviously, we have chosen Sovereign as one of the stocks of 2023 for various reasons. I think one of the reasons is obviously it's the world's biggest rutile and also the graphite deposit. And secondly, you know, that's not going away, if you understand what I mean. From a mining perspective, we know the rutile's there, we know the graphite's there. Now the execution is what is going to mean this company is either successful or very successful.
Yeah, totally. Look, so the things to look out for in 2023 really are, firstly, the demerger that we discussed. So NGX should be up and running, IPO'd come late Feb, early March, around that time. So I urge anyone who wants to come in to NGX at an early stage, you know, the easiest way to do that is to be a sovereign shareholder come February.
So is there a cutoff date for that, Japan?
It's TBD, but it looks like at some point in February will be a record date, and that will be the date where we take the shareholder register and say, right, these are the people holding stock today in sovereign, and they will get the pro rata NGX holding. So they'll become the seed holders, effectively, of NGX. If you're long graphite, if you're looking for something that's already done a lot of the work as it comes to market, NGX is a great opportunity to participate in that. And then, look, a lot of the work that we've been doing this past quarter is being fed into our pre-feasibility study, which we're hoping will come out mid-year next year. That pre-feasibility study will take what we had as a scoping study and move it into a more a higher confidence level. We may or may not change some of the dynamics of that scoping study. You know, how big can we go at Cassia is a question that we're asking. In November, we announced some drill results, which showed actually, even though we had drilled for our scoping study, we had drilled a resource down to around 15, 20 meters, and we were really only taking the top 14 meters of mineralization. Actually, when we drilled down deeper, we found that the grade continued all the way down to 30, 35 meters in some places. So there could be an excuse to just rather than move around the Cassia deposit and pick up mineralization down to, you know, kind of 14, 15 meters, we stick in certain zones and go even deeper. You know, we don't know whether what that means in terms of increasing the size of the resource. But what we do know is if we were able to do that, it would mean that there would be even lower OPEX, which obviously then feeds into your bottom line, which would be a big win for us. And then obviously we continue to do work on the offtake agreements. We've got about 75,000 tons of rutile already kind of placed on an MOU basis. We continue to discuss with other potential off-takers, and then we need to do the same on the graphite side. But along with that, we also will start doing a lot of work around the test work on the graphite. We already know a lot about the chemistry of the graphite at Cassia, what it looks like, what the chemical parameters are, and whether it's they conform to being used in an electric vehicle battery, where we're happy with what we're seeing there. So, you know, all of this is to be looked forward to in 2023.
Sure. And also, obviously, not taking away the fact that Rick Rule, obviously a well-known mining investor and president of CEO of Sprott US Holdings, also has this on one of his, you know, Australian stocks, obviously being ASX listed as one to watch. So I think they actually had a broken out initially, was it September 2021, of around $1.20 on their speculative target. So all to play for, as you say.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think Rick actually had us down as one of his top three global mining stocks and top two Australian listed stocks. So
yeah,
not a bad subset to be in.
One day they're going to say that about Roast PR. They chose the right stocks, you know. One thing that you probably can't answer, but I'll say it anyway, because it was part of mine and Phil's discussion in terms of why we chose Sovereign, is that after the pre-feasibility study, I think you will be in play. I think the chances of somebody coming in and offering you significant amount of money for Sovereign to basically say, here you go, here we have this wonderful project. It's got already all of these people who want the product, and go ahead and do it.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's something obviously we can't really go into any kind of real discussions with. All I can say is, as an executive team, as a board, the board's always geared towards maximizing shareholder value, which is exactly what each company out there should be doing.
Yeah, good non-answer. I mean, I didn't expect you to answer it, Sapan, so don't worry about it. The scenario is that when me and Phil were talking about this, this was, I think that Sovereign during 2023 has a very good chance of people starting to sniff around and say, this company is worth significantly more than the current share price. I mean, when you have a 1.5 billion net present value and you're currently worth 100 million pounds, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So, yeah, we wish you good luck in 2023, and I hope all of the things come to pass. I think you have a great opportunity here as a huge asset to invest in this, and it could pay dividends, I think, for many people.
Yep, no, yeah, I think you're totally right. Pay dividends, literally, I think, is what you're saying. As I said at the top of the interview, you know, this is a once in a generational find. You know, the reason why I go out and talk to investors, and investors are like rutile and scratch their heads, it's because we haven't found a rutile deposit, and definitely one, not one similar to this size, for the last 50 years. So, you know, if no one found a gold project for 50 years, and then someone said, hey, I found some gold, but we had a few generations of investors never investing in gold projects, you'd understand why it's such a big deal for us.
Yeah. What was the best Christmas present you ever got?
Oh, good question. You know what? I'm staring at my my bookshelf at the moment, and the one thing that I got one Christmas was a, and this is going to really bifurcate your audience, but was a signed copy of Alex Ferguson's autobiography.
Oh, well, do you know what's up? And I'm just
signed by the great Sir Alec himself.
Basically, it's a Vodafone shirt from when Fergie was there. It's got Beckham, it's got all of those players from the class, you know, Neville, all of them on there. So it's framed, it's on my wall, and I've also got a Pelé shirt as well, signed as well, which is pride of place, which sadly, obviously, on his passing, we just announced last week. It's it's bad news, the greatest of all time, but fair play. And what is the book? Is it just his autobiography?
Yeah, I've actually got it was two things together. It was the autobiography and his book Leading, which he wrote with Michael Moritz.
Yeah, it's a good book. I've read, yeah, very good books. No one will ever achieve what he achieved in that tenure, will you? In his term, what was it, 22 years or something like that?
It was just
phenomenal.
I mean, yeah, look what's happened since, right? That's a good indicator.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can't doubt that he was a brilliant manager. There is no doubt about that. I mean, he, for the resources he had and all the different things he had, he produced amazing, amazing results. So I can't take it away from him, even if I despise the team that he actually managed. but there you go. It's, yeah.
Okay, I'll get you a copy next Christmas.
Get him a copy. Well, I mean, he only won 13 Premier League titles, so it's, you know, 12 more than Klopp ever got anyway, so...
No comment.
Anyway, Sapan, on that note, we can talk. We'll talk about United when we meet again, and we'll, you know, we can talk to the cows. Come on, but we wish you all the best for 2023, and we look forward to welcoming you back on when there's the next news announcement. Sapan Guy, CCO Sovereign Metals. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, gentlemen.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of the Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.